Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and I am on a mission to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their voice that comes in so many different forms. So this space was created to talk with people with all different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and to have conversations about experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think that it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation and we see where it goes. I have had the opportunity to talk to musicians, Reiki masters, mediums, doctor, lawyer, real estate agents, entrepreneurs as young as 13, and so many more. And these conversations explore the reality that creativity is not cute, it is necessary. People have defined creativity as their soul's essence, as courage, imagination, basically all that we are and want to be. So sharing these stories expands one's thinking, opens up self-expression to feel more empowered and connected, and dare I say, happy. So my inspiring guest today is Kristen Miller. Kristen is an intuitive business and money mentor who specializes in self-actualization, personal power, alchemy, and mindset mastery. She acts as a significant success catalyst for small business owners and single parents by helping them unbridle their undercover brilliance to make more money rapidly, increase profits, and shine their light in the awakened seven-figure arena. Kristen, welcome to the space.
Hi, hey, Kristen. Hi, can you hear me?
Yay, you did it.
It's awesome to be here. Thank you.
So happy that you are here. So after reading your incredible bio, can you please tell a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, sure. I'm actually just a friendly girl next door who loves wearing comfy jeans and playing with her pets. but yes, that would be the essence of my truth. But I also love serving people and helping them through the typical money issues. You know, money seems to be such a stressor for so many people. So it's a passion of mine, and coming from a broke family, pretty much, a lot of the time anyway, it just created a calling, a calling from within me to express itself out.
Yeah. Yeah. So give us a little bit more. So how did you get this knowledge in order to be able to help people in these areas? Because yeah, money is huge.
It is a big one. Hey, I always say we know that money doesn't buy happiness, but it sure makes the road easier, right? To get there when you're not living in survival mode. I've worked in four different industries, and I think of freedom is my highest value. And it's not only because of my upbringing. I think that's just part of my nature. I'm such an independent soul. And I love it that way. So I dropped out of law school, believe it or not. I was going to study criminal law. And I just, something within me knew it wasn't right, you know, straight after school. So I packed up my little city Golf and drove, I don't know how many miles it was, but it was about a 12-hour trip to get down to Cape Town, a small, it's actually a mother city now, but I went to a small suburb around it many moons ago. And basically I started waitressing. I just couldn't wait to be independent and start earning my own money so I could pay my own rent and do my own thing. I've studied throughout the years, various diplomas, including management, accounting, and finance is one of the funny ones that a lot of people don't know that I did. And I went up from there. Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that here. So, okay. Well, we're going to dive more into it. So throughout the conversation. So let's go to our little icebreaker here. So, and I want to acknowledge and welcome the people here with us live. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you. Any questions or comments, please feel free to put them in the chat box below and we can see them. So, Kristen, would you rather be able to control fire or water?
I would think fire if I had to choose.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So why fire?
I like the energy. I'm Aquarius, ironically, and I'm an old water baby, love being around water. But fire to me, it creates a higher level of energy, or that's the feeling I sort of get from it. And that relates to my company name, Flaming Silver. So it's all about igniting our inner flame. We've all got it. I think that as we move through life, we just forget about it. You know, I think there's truth to the fact that we all have what I call a core purpose, never mind multifaceted purposes that may spin off from there. But it's part of why I love what I do, just ignite one's inner flame. And again, it may sound cliched, but it's why I like the company name.
Yeah.
And shine our light. Yeah.
I totally, you know, I've looked at your website and I totally didn't make that connection when I intuitively picked these. So I just kind of scroll through. I'm like, which one is it going to be for today? So there we go.
Glad to be here. Yeah.
I love it. So funny. Okay. So let's start with the first question and then we'll dive into the nitty gritty of this rich conversation. So how do you define creativity?
It's a funny one, but it helps my clients remember. So I define creativity as the divine expression of our mop made physical through us. So a mop, like a kitchen mop, a floor cleaning mop. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. three aspects. Our mission, which is really just the how and what we intend to help people with. I believe we're all here to serve in a way, even if it's not as a CEO of a 8-figure, you know, corporation or anything. Then the O to me stands for open-minded originality. And by open-minded, I just say, if we allow ourselves, we've got to give ourselves permission really to follow what we're curious about, to follow our heart's desires, true desires, not just wants or needs. And we need an open mind to do it, because as what often happens, especially they used to call it the old midlife crisis thing, it's the life that a lot of people anyway have lived for decades. Their true heart's desires are often very different and look ridiculous and feel ridiculous to them when they first start exploring it, like a lawyer turned into an animal communicator as one example, or litigation attorney turned physiotherapist to a sports team. So often mm-hmm. it's very different to what we've been raised to do. And then the P of the MOP is for purpose. So everyone has a purpose that affects another life in this world. It's just part of our, I believe, divine creation, even if it is from mom to kids, as an easy example that all listeners, I think, would feel. Like mine, for example, is to touch, heal, inspire, educate, and entertain, and help everyone get to the harmonious state of fulfillment is my big if word that I love. Yeah, so that's a mom. Mm-hmm. That's how I define it, made physical through us. That's creativity.
Wow, mission, open-minded, and purpose. And I really like how you touched on the fact of where you said it can look ridiculous when you start really, because it's that logical mind, right?
Oh,
where
totally.
we're kind of like, well, that is crazy. Okay, I'm a lawyer, I'm within this corporate world and da-da-da, but I love animals. So what are you saying? I'm going to like leave my job and just do all this? Like dive into that more, because I think this is rich. So go ahead if you could.
Yeah, it's kind of what happened to me as well. And I promise you, I was judged and ridiculed and really by my closest friends and family. And I say it with great love, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But I'd been in real estate and investment. So I used to deal with a lot of high net worth individuals with international investments around four countries anyway. And I did really well at it. And something stuck in my head from 2010, which is when I first started my business. And my business strategist at the time said to me, just because you fit in somewhere doesn't mean it's where you have to be. You know, we may be placed into certain roles and we may absolutely do them really well, which is great. But that is when that's when a lot of people come to me. I call them my misfiring, misaligned, mediocre millionaires, generally. It's the majority of my client base. Because although they do it really well, like I did, I was great and I loved serving my clients. I was just, you know, 2015, I felt so unfulfilled. It wasn't that I didn't enjoy the money or the travel or the investments or the big fancy house and whatever, you know, and my pets I adore. But there was something missing. And that was the only way I could describe it. And if I'd mentioned that to friends, most friends or family anyway, they'd say, how can you be so ungrateful? Or, you know, how could you think like this? Look at what you live in. Do you know how many people would do anything to have what you have? So lay on the guilt and the shame. And then we start wondering, like, is something wrong with us?
Right.
So I really had from July 2015, I started questioning the very essence of, like, why am I here? There must be more. And I felt bad. I really did. I felt guilty for, like, wanting more from life. And it took me a few years and a sabbatical, I've got to be honest, to find the courage, I think, to just close it all down. I sold everything I'd ever owned, houses, everything. I sold everything but the car. And I gifted away my beautiful dining room table to the house cleaner and her family. They were delighted. It was one of the best gifts I've ever given away. I remember that because I remember their faces. There were many happy tears shed that day. And I just decided, this is it. This is not the life I want to live. There is something missing. I know it. And I actually owe it to myself to give myself a little bit of space, breathing space, if you will, to allow what must to flow through me. So when I felt crazy, and I talk about creativity, crazy, I was like, all right, what have I always enjoyed in life? Horses. So as we were talking about before, people are often renowned to be X or Y, and we think it's our self-identity, but it's absolutely not. I didn't realize it then. So I always thought of myself, because everyone else thought of me, as this real estate, you know, professional, whatever we want to call it. Yeah. And I was like, how on earth am I going to bring horses into any new business? Because, you know, horses cost a lot of money. You don't make money off them, I promise. The cheapest part is buying them. So I was like, I still want to be wealthy. I've still got my financial freedom goals. I still love having a lot of money around my life and helping others do the same. So how can I incorporate everything? And I was like, all right. So I went right back to when I was a kiddo and everything was always around horses. And I've often joked, because in that young, young age, I used to picture life as a My Little Pony episode. So maybe I'm dating myself, 41, but proud of it. And it's before the internet was around, but like Care Bears and Gummy Bears and My Little Pony was my thing.
Oh my God. Yes, yes.
And I was like, how do I do this? Can I really get rid of the corporate suits? You know, that's how everyone knew me. And I did. I ended up going and living on a tropical island for almost 4 months. Working with horses, playing with horses, got rid of the suits. I no longer wear heels, and I'm very proud to say that. I don't do heels. Never did like them, and they hurt your feet. But and it got me out. It got me the break I needed, and I was still trading through Flaming Silver. It was always a private entity I'd managed for, guess what, all my equestrian endeavors. So it started forming in my head then. All right, cool. So can I really help people, maybe as a life coach or maybe as a full-time mentor? I'd mentored a lot of people throughout my life up to that point. So that was there. And even in C-suite positions, I'd mentor people outside of our organization at the time, for example. So somehow I came back and it was a fresh slate. And I remember saying, all right, so if you're going to make a website, what on earth are you going to say? How are you going to bring the horse into anything that you want to go out and look at? You know, you look at other mentors or coaches and consultants, and they've all got these very corporate looking beautiful logos, and here I am with a horse head. So I was feeling brave. And over time and through all the studies I've done, I was like, no, I've got to honor this thoroughbred. And I remembered finally at, well, how old was I then? 38. And I was like, but you know what, we are all born and bred perfect, divine, pure thoroughbreds. it's like we just forget it as time goes on. We're always trying to be these other things because society told us to, or parenting or cultural backgrounds or anything at all. You know, we should do this and you must get married by X age. And, you know, every woman should want to have the babies and the 2.5 kids and the white picket fence. And I was like, no, my dream revolves around a 4-poster and rail fence, for example. It is white in the dreams, but sorry. And so that's when I brought the thoroughbred in. It's not only my favorite horse breed. I've been working with and reconditioning ex-race horses off the track for their newfound careers and lives. So to the listeners who don't maybe know, thoroughbreds are raced from very, very young. So you get the yearling races, etc. I mean, they are babies, most of them, when they come off the track at 4 or 5. So how I explain the story to anyone who's interested anyway is that that's how I felt most corporate people, most of us my age anyway, 40 and plus, we're taught or conditioned that running in the rat race, you know, round and round a track and doing the best you can just to make as much money is like the thing to aim for. Or if you're employed, it's run around the same corporate racetrack and stay at the same job for 40 years and then, you know, get your little paycheck and retire with a, I don't know, Rolex watch or something. And I was just like, no, do you know what actually happens to the thoroughbred is when they retired off the track at young, their new life only just begins. They get to choose, what am I? Am I a champion show jumper? Maybe I'm a dressage star. Maybe I'm a hunter. Maybe I'm an eventer, cross country, you know, 3-day eventer. Like, there's all these new possibilities and opportunities that open up. And it is one of my favorite things on earth to do when I'm not at my laptop working with people is to recondition baby ex-race horses off the track guys and figure out and help them find, okay, well, where else do your talents lie? And you'll be amazed at what comes out of the horses. And that is that's an analogy that I like to use with a lot of people. They may have been conditioned. For example, I work with a lot of lawyers. So, and I love law. How I was going to study it. So it's within me somewhere. And it's just interesting that they are my clients because, like, from litigation attorneys to tax attorneys, trial attorneys, that's a big, used to be quite a big one. And they just go, oh my word, all I'm getting is chest pains and I feel unfulfilled. This can't be my life. I had a client once burst into tears and phoned me in his garage in a Maserati? Gosh, I don't want to get the car wrong. He just didn't even want to go into work. This is pre-COVID, obviously, but he didn't even want to go in. It's how much his body really was fighting against it. Anyway, it took a while. And he devoted the rest of his years still, and he's happily traveling around the world, divorced as well, funny enough, but everyone's happy. But just doing odd, I would say, social initiatives. So he's helping build schools through small little organizations. He had a lot of money to give, and he just went and explored the world. So that's a very wild example, but it's one of them. Yeah.
So much of what you're saying, I think that a common theme of this conversation of our hour together is going to be, just because you fit in doesn't mean this is where you need to be. It's what I'm hearing a lot of what you're saying, all these shoulds, all the naysayers talking to you. Are you crazy? Are you selfish? All of these things laying this guilt on you about, yes, your life, you have all of these objects, you have all of these things, but in your inner core, it's not serving you. It's not, like you said, in your MOP, it's not your purpose. It's not your mission.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's a beautiful story how you said with the lawyer. I mean, that's how things, you know, we judge and we look at people from the outside, but we're in this spiritual world of understanding. I mean, it really is all the inner work, right?
Totally. And I love to say that I think I had a spiritual awakening. There's no other word or definition that I can think of to describe it yet. And that was early 2016. And I felt, I promise you, it was a compulsion is really the only word I can think of to meditate. Now, you must understand, prior to that time, I'd never meditated in my life. I had to Google all the stuff. It was just this compulsion to try and it was a thirst. It was an unquenchable thirst. And for about a month, I didn't focus on anything business, anything. I was just exploring and learning from anyone I could online, anyone at all who was in the spiritual realm. So Christy Marie Sheldon, it was about energetics and, you know, what is the spirit thing? That's how I built up the personal power trifecta. So I work with people on three levels, which is soul set, mindset, and heart set. But yeah, it was weird. And I promise you, my dad asked me once, he said, what are you doing? He said it like that. What are you doing? And I couldn't even answer him. And I say it with great love. He just had the strangest look on his face, you know, probably thinking his daughter's absolutely lost it. But I was like, I don't know. And there I was creating my first vision board, which, by the way, I've still got today, and I'm so much closer to it. And I was drawing, like, this is the ideal ranch or sanctuary. I prefer to call it a sanctuary, where I can then eventually heal people with horses. So I can get to do both. It is the one way that on the same piece of land that I want one of my trusts to own, I can do small group and live experiential group work with people and real life thoroughbreds off the track. And, you know, horses don't lie. People, we often lie to ourselves, even if we don't know it, even if we're not conscious of it just yet. But animals don't, and they react instantly based on its pure energy. There is no English language as a vocab, so to speak. So I love watching the interactions between the two. And it's just amazing. I've seen some amazing examples of even big grown CEOs break down in tears, but it's beautiful. But bonding with the horse as the element, the external element that's sort of brought in. And it's so beautiful. Like, I get a lump in my throat every time like something like that happens, actually. Yeah, it's just wonderful. But what you meant about like what you took from the previous chat about our MOP, you know, the mission and the open-minded originality and then purpose. One of my favorite quotes was from Paulo Coelho from the Zahir. It's, we need to forget what we think we are so that we can really become what we are. Just the way we were divinely designed from the get-go. So I love that quote, and I think I've got it on my website somewhere, but it happened to me. It's happening to almost everyone I work with. Moms, a lot of them, when they become empty nesters in the beginning, so not all my clients are business owners, but they feel lost. That's the word they use with me more often than not, is just lost. You know, their entire purpose was raising the kids, getting them through, and eventually they go to college, say. And then they just feel empty and lost. That's a big word that comes up as an example. Yeah,
because we put, especially in parenting, it's like you put all of your energy into that space. You've created a life, or a life is brought into your life, and you kind of pride yourself on that. But then there is that realization and understanding, which is better to learn it when they're younger. And when you're younger, to have your own, to have a life, to have, you know, your breathing mask of whatever that thing really is that lights you up, and not leave it until they go away and leave. Because then you really do become, it's a longer amount of time to become disconnected from yourself. And I remember at one point with our son, my kids are 18 and 21. And I think my son was like 16 at the time. And something happened, and it was the way he was responding to something. And I was like, who are you? Who were you raised by? Like, why would you react that way? And he looked at me and he said, did you ever think that it has nothing to do with you? I said,
oh, wow.
I said, no, not for a minute. It has everything to do with me. I was like, wow, that was kind of smart.
Very smart. I agree. It's amazing what they take in. Hey, absolute little sponges from young. And I have to agree with you. I do watch parents, friends of mine who are parents. One of my clients now, she's got a temper tantrum throwing toddler and a little bubba. He's not an infant anymore, who's just started crawling. So our weekly conversations are, and they're on Zoom, I mean, but they're exciting to say the least at the moment. And she was the same. She's mentioned it so often. She just wants to be able to be the human that shows her kids that we get to follow our dreams, even when times are tough, even if it looks weird compared to the outside world's expectations. Or, you know, she's had to take a lot of flack as a mom with young Bubba's, and she's running her business from home very successfully. But I know that she's taken a lot of flack from her parents, for example, because her mom, I had the same until I turned 32. Like, we've just got different desires, if you will, than the majority, maybe. Or right. I always go back to right. Joan of Arc. Did she want to do anything that the normal ladies wanted to do? No. Yet she's still a legend and she's still a hero. We remember her today. And there's plenty mm-hmm. other great legends, I think, in that way, both male and female, who just, they bucked the trend because they really didn't feel like they belonged there. And they found the courage to honor their true inner self, what I call that divinely perfect pedigree, that thoroughbred. You know, it's a questioning animal. It's highly intelligent. It's got charisma. It's versatile. They're not the type of donkey you want to sit on and will just listen to you. They're going to question your every move. So I love them as a horse breed too, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love how you just kind of make all of your references through all the pedigrees. It's just really, it's nice and it's visual and it's understandable. It really is. It's relatable. But I kind of want to go back to what I titled this, which was talking to a miracle money mentor and spiritual technician. So kind of addressing those topics, because I know people are going to be drawn to this because they're going to see miracle money mentor. So it's going to grab their attention. But I want you to speak to that because, and kind of expand on all of your knowledge, because since this is a place where people are always like, I want to be able to have this time freedom. I want to be able to do these things that I'm passionate about and not have to worry, you know, be able to make money from that and all of that. I just want to, and I love this part where you said, and spiritual technician. It's this kind of best of both worlds kind of space, very balanced, it sounds to me, but I'd love to hear your take on this.
Yeah. Oh, and I do have fun with money. So you're right. And it was actually a client, I think Arizona. I forget the state she lives in now, but she actually dubbed me that. And I thought it was hilarious. And it's a compliment. I said, thank you so much. Wow. So talking mm-hmm. about making money fun was a big thing to me. Not only because the way we were raised, it was a complete taboo subject. It was like the dirtiest word you could ever possibly mention. So, and maybe this is the same in a lot of old school, typical middle class households. I'm not sure. I hear so. But money was always a taboo. You've got to whisper about it, you know, especially if there's not enough. Oh, we can't be going through bad times. That's embarrassing. You know, what do the neighbors think? Or whatever the neighbors have, we're supposed to have. That whole keeping up with the Joneses thing. Right. So a lot of people come to me, especially single parents now, in that way going, all right, cool. I may be an employee, but I still need to, I really want to do something better with my money. So as a money mentor in particular, if most people come with a very negative perception or view. So I always say, well, that's kind of if they can imagine it, and depending on who I'm speaking to is the language, I will change my language to best suit the human. But generally they have a negative emotional, I call it an emotional charge, which is energetic. We can actually measure frequencies, you know, in terms of our body. That's science. Yeah. It's not even just spiritual. But so I said, for most people, and this is the part, I said, let's make it fun. Because money, they come to me and it's a stressful topic, or it's a real source of frustration and shame. There is a whole lot of shame that I'm finding involved around mm-hmm. the money topic. And I mean, my mom freaks out often if I talk openly about it as an example, mm-hmm. but again, understanding mm-hmm. the way she was raised. So I try and make it fun. And I always say, let's be silly with money. And that does not mean reckless spending. Let's make it really fun. So if a client is really struggling with some very negative beliefs, limiting beliefs about money, like there's never enough, no such thing as abundance. I've never had it in my life. I'm not meant to be rich because, you know, rich people are greedy. And especially if they bring in the spiritual connotations to it, like money's evil. If they've got those sort of beliefs, then I honestly ask them, and this is crazy to many, but it works. I say, now you're going to go out to whatever cheap store, like Walmart or wherever, like the Dollar General store, if you're in the States. Like if it's in South Africa, we go to the crazy store. And you go and buy mm-hmm. whatever little money tin or piggy bank that really appeals to you. And I say, make it wacky. I've got Princess Porcelina. I ask them to name it. And I've still got my Princess Porcelina. She's a piggy bank, literally. So piggy Porcelina. But she's so cute. I'll send you a photo.
I love it. Yeah, I want to see. Yeah.
I love her. And I said, okay, cool. So how do you treat coins, for example? And they're like, ugh, you know, people just don't care about them. They all get shoved aside. I was like, all right, well, that's where we'll start. Little steps. We've got to make it fun. So every time you find a penny or a coin or whatever, shout out loud. And yes, you're going to feel like an idiot at first, and you may whisper it at first. Thank you, bring me more, for an example. So whoever you're speaking to some people it's God, to some people it's angels. Like I like to say, thank you, angels, bring me more. Any coins or pennies that are found, for example. And we stick it into our little piggy bank or money tin, whatever they've named it. So I had a client, for example, she loved unicorns. So she literally went on a hunt to go and find a very cute, cheap unicorn piggy bank, if you will. And she did. She saved over $1,000 in that little thing. It was bursting at the seams with, wow. I think it was 8 or 9 months later. So this really works. And it's just, this is a really silly example of trying to make it more fun. So we start with a crazy looking, cute, whatever, piggy bank. And then I said, you got to go on weekly money dates. And this is a common theme. Many people teach that because what I find is that many of us are so disciplined. Think about moms, for example, with the kids. They know the exact swimming schedules and the running or the online school lessons now that it's COVID and tennis practice then and whatever. But when it comes to actually managing their money, every penny that comes in, everything that goes out, they're not disciplined. And for whatever reason, it could be because they've never been taught. And hubby, for example, has often paid the bills all the time. I said, well, you're also earning, whether you find a penny on the street or whatever, you're constantly playing with the universe in terms of manifestation. But you need to train yourself to open your eyes to receive. We're bad receivers generally. I find a lot of women in particular now, men are awesome receivers generally because they were conditioned that way throughout life to be the breadwinners. Yeah. Often I find women are not as much, and it is an active receiving. So weekly money dates, and that's when I start getting fastidious with the finances and they need a budget. And I want every line item put in there and they'll work together every week, but they've got to pick a day and they've got to name it. So I've always had Financial Freedom Fridays. It's just, it's a practice I've had for so many years. It's part of my like lifestyle. I can't even imagine starting a Friday morning without going through my budget. And I mean everything, even interest earned on investment portfolios, for example. But I've had clients call them Money Mondays, Wealthy Wednesdays. What was the one for Thursdays? Thriving Thursdays. So any day that works for them, yay. Even if it's a Saturday, I think there's someone called it one Sexy Saturdays because they want to go on a date with money to make it more fun, because a lot of people have they're just not ever taught how budgeting can really be a fun thing. Especially when you start monitoring all the income, like, wow, when you look back a month later and you go, I didn't even realize that. Or, gee whiz, this one's earning me more interest in the savings account, so let me put in $100 extra. Or, you know, I managed to put in just $50 more into my mortgage, for example. Or, so, you know, we'll work through that process. I've got a 579 money module, and this is for anyone starting out, especially if it's a new business. So 5 different accounts, and we name them. People seem to A, remember, and B, have more fun with stuff when you actually give it a name. Like you wouldn't get a pet and then not name it. You can't, it's not an it. So you get a dog and you call him Blue, for example, just to give you my old Great Dane's name. Okay. You got to name them. So I'll share some of my examples. So obviously I have my business current account and that's just flaming silver trading, blah, blah, blah. But I have one of my savings account is what I call my trotting tax account. That money, I have to budget for taxes, of course. So every single month, I EFT a certain sum based on the income, the revenue, into the trotting tax account. Now, why did I call it trotting tax? Because it's boring. Like, I know I can be efficient with tax, but it's not something that excites me. So just trotting along. Like, if you think about a horse, what is the most exciting gait? Most people want to gallop or jump or canter. They don't want to trot. So it's a trotting tax account. Then I've got the silver savings account, which is the big dream one. And on that one, I ask my clients, now you put a limit, a hold on it, so that you cannot access it. So some countries allow, for example, a 32-day notice period required, or 7-day notice, or whatever you can get, but you may not be able to access that one instantly because The point is to become creative and resourceful when the pawpaw hits the fan. And you'll be surprised at how often you think, oh my word, I'm going to have to give notice now to release some of my savings because this happened. Real life emergencies, the car broke down, the geyser burst, the hot water cylinder in the States, or something, you know, the thermostat broke, whatever. And then you'll be surprised at the creativity that comes out of people when they have to come up with extra money. And that's part of how I define wealth. Wealth is not a number. It's not a figure. It is the ability to create the amount of money you need anytime you need it. And that we exercise through wealth consciousness, which has got nothing to do with money. It's a consciousness. It's a way of belief and values and a belief system, should I say, within us. So that's one of the accounts. And then I've got what I call, this is all linked with my business account. Then I've got a graze and grow. So that is an accessible, simple savings account. It's not about a high interest rate. It's about you're just putting 10% minimum of whatever your revenue is, your income, top line income, top line rev, and you put that into the graze and grow. So you are permitted to graze off it, num, num, num. Say you need to hire a videographer quickly to do whatever. So you num, 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 graze a bit off that account. You're allowed to. You're allowed to access it. So it's graze a bit and grow with it. Yeah. So those are like, okay, they're three funny examples. But so the human would have a personal account and a business account, two linked to the business, and that's 1, 2, 3, 4, and then one extra savings account linked to the personal. So, you know, we try and separate in their minds, especially if they're new entrepreneurs, that you do not trade for tax efficient purposes as well, but for many other reasons, through your personal name. Just like wealthy people know you never buy a house in your personal name. It's got to be in an entity's name, preferably, because your residential home is not an asset. It's a liability until there's no mortgage. You know, so there's different lessons, but we really, I want them to be silly and I want them to have fun.
Wow.
From Princess Porcelina to whatever they name stuff. Yeah.
So much information. I love that and I appreciate that. And it really does. Yeah, it's the playfulness in life, right? It's making these things attainable so it doesn't seem like it's something that's so hard to reach. It makes it like, yeah, I can do that. That's not, I don't have to go to school to get a degree in that. Like I can do that and I can kind of be mentored and helped along the way. Okay, so let's find out a little bit more about you, Kristen, as a person. So with the second question being, how do you incorporate more creativity into your own life? Like, what does that look like in your world?
I actually made a few notes. There's six ways that I really do it. But the first one, I think, is that I lead with the more life principle. So even as a human, like everything in nature, if you had to think about it from a seed, even a simple, any little plant, any little seed or vegetable seed, the whole purpose is more life. And when nourished the right way and cultivated and nurtured, I prefer the word nurtured the right way, its point is to grow. It's always seeking a bigger life. So it will grow. What do they say about fishes, for example? They'll grow as large as the fish tank allows, similar to plants in terms of the pot plants, the pots that they're stuck in. So we're always seeking the sunshine. We're always seeking more light for the photosynthesis, if it's, you know, flora. And in animals too, it's always about more life. So, okay, fine. Animal instinct is reproduction. Not all humans follow that philosophy, but we are. There's always something within us, even as individuals. Like I love studying neuroscience, for example. I've been doing it for years. I actually studied online through Harvard 2 years ago on a short online course. And just last week, I was chatting to Mark Waldman and I've been accepted into his very limited 14 to 16 people per year accepted into his, neuro leadership for executives program and his advanced trauma-centered coaching, neuro coaching. So I'm loving that. And that's on a personal level. I haven't even implemented that into my business yet. On the fun side, like I loved one of your recent podcasts was animal communication. That is me as a human. Dogs and horses, I love being around them. And when I'm not working, it's just, I'm there and I get called in often with the problem horses or the problem, especially large dogs like Great Danes or Rottweilers or bulls we have down here. So I often get called in to like, oh gosh, he's not listening or whatever. So I help with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the more life principle. And that's very creative. You've got to think on the spot. It's a lot of problem solving, which creativity is as well. It's not just, as you said before, it's not just paint to a canvas or sketching. It's creativity. We're radical problem solvers as humans, I think. And once we unleash and practice that power, gosh, you can pretty much problem solve anything, from how to hang a picture frame on a wall, which, trust me, I didn't have a clue how to do until I had to do it one day and became truly independent and didn't ask a man to do it for me. So it's quite amazing what you can figure out when you really have to.
It's so funny. I actually have to speak to that for a minute, because so this makes my husband nuts, because when I hang things, I don't measure. I don't take out the thing to show exactly where it is. I guesstimate. So I guesstimate, and I don't even have to have a hammer. I could have a shoe. Like, I could take a shoe and I could just bang the nail in. So we're working on my daughter's room, and I didn't want to go downstairs to get the hammer. And I'm like, you know what? Can I have your high heel? Like, let's just get your high heel and we'll just use that. And I'm like, and just close the door so Dad doesn't walk in and give me any kind of trouble, because he's saying, what are you doing? You know, it's going to fall out. So I just,
I'm the same. There's no spirit
about creativity.
I totally get what you're saying. I've never used a spirit level. And yes, the men I know do it right, I guess. But hey, I can show you what I've hung up on this wall, and it looks pretty good. There's no, and it's a little tiny, they call it a chick hammer that I've got. I don't have a real hammer, but it works. And I've done my job, and I figured it out.
Because I'll say to my husband, I'm like, he'll like look at something and I'm like, you think it looks good? And he's like, yeah, it looks good. It works. I'm like, and you know how I did that? Not by measuring.
And he used a high heel. That's very creative. Gosh. Yay. It's just one example. It's a great one, yours. Really. I wish someone had videoed it. But yeah, that's an example of creativity. Like, oh, if I have a leaky tap or something, you know, just living alone. I mean, we just do. We'll figure it out. And it ties in with resourcefulness, I think. When we're all starting something new and we don't know about it, we get resourceful. We have to wear all the hats. So if you're talking about it from a business side, if you're a solopreneur at first, you don't have a team. You wear the legal hat and IT and the tech stuff and the systems, and you're everyone. You know, you have to be. But intuition I play with, and I've consciously exercised it every single day since that a spiritual awakening, if you will, from 2016. I've always been highly intuitive. I just didn't know it was what it was called when I was a tiny kiddo. So I've got lots of weird things that have happened to me since I was four, you know, from real conscious memory, maybe just before four. But that I get to practice, and I love it. And it has saved my butt on countless occasions when it just always does. Like, my intuition is like my silent success partner in life, I swear. Like, literally, even avoiding deer if you're driving in the early mornings on a farm road or country road, which I used to do very often in 2017, for example, I'd have this little voice that would say, oh, you better just veer off to the left quickly, just, you know, go a bit slower, veer off to the left. It's a dirt road, so there's no lines or anything. True as Bob, this beautiful large stag. I'll never forget it. I mean, I almost drove into the other side of the road because I was so shocked at this view. Beautiful male stag. Just walked in front of the road. Thank goodness I'd slowed down. Thank goodness I'd veered to the left, because he was right where I had been on the right-hand side, which, being a farm road, you know, in the early morning, you can drive on either side. But anyway, something had just told me go to the left for some reason, and I did. And oh gosh, it was like time stood still, just seeing this big, beautiful deer staring at me, big guy, a big stag. Anyway, that's just a little example of that. I've had many instances when I was out riding my horse in the mountains, all sorts of things. But intuition's a biggie, and I often, even in business, do use it every day, if you will. It doesn't happen every day when I get big hits like that. They're like gut punches almost to my solar plexus area. But like ClickUp, for some reason, I went against Slack and I chose ClickUp. And I like both, but yeah, I went with my gut instinct, as most people would say. My intuition just said, just do it. It feels right. It feels This is for you. This is for you and your team. Use it. And then emotional agility. So if you've got a family that may have, let's call it issues, or discontent or discord, whatever, at any time, I love practicing emotional agility, not just emotional intelligence. I teach this to clients as well. The agility is, I'll give you a good example. Last year, I was exhausted because my baby girl, Jamie, my little girl dog, my baby, oh, she was mom's special baby, that one. Anyway, she was old and she was dying of congestive heart disease and liver failure. And it was a long journey, 11 months, but I would never keep an animal in pain. And Dawn Phoenix, I think, was one of your recent interviewees. She spoke about it. She's awesome. I love exactly. that conversation. Yeah.
I'm glad.
10 days after Jamie died, and my severe lack of sleep throughout the year, just I'm such a mama bear. I'm such a nurturer by nature, you know. Mm-hmm. So, gosh, if my babas are sick, I am up. I'm doing everything in my power for them. And then my dad had 2 strokes, 2 days in a row. So we had 2 consecutive strokes, 10 days after I lost my special baby rescue girl. You know, so really it wasn't an easy time. And that took a lot of emotional agility because I was also launching my new mentorship program and work was crazy. And I was just like, wow, okay, this is a lot. This is a lot on a plate. So I often say to people, I don't like suppression. I say, suppression is oppression. I need you to express, not suppress. So if you're having a bad day, I want it out. Cry. Scream if you must. Break plates. Go for a run. Do whatever. But don't force yourself to sit quietly and like hide it or suppress it, basically. It's emotional agility is the ability to allow a quick release if you really need it, like I did. That weekend was, it was trauma for me with my dad's strokes and whatever, you know. It's traumatic, especially because I found him on the floor and gosh, there's a whole long story involved with that. And I couldn't break into the house. He was house sitting. I had to call the fire brigade and the ambulance and all sorts. It was just horrible seeing your
dad. So wait, so how is he? How is he?
Oh, he's good. He's good. He got out of hospital a week later because of COVID. They didn't do brain scans as they should have because he had 2 brain lesions on the brain, they assume, because of 2 consecutive strokes. But he's good. Don't worry. He came out in a wheelchair and, you know, his body not functioning right, but he never lost his ability to speak or anything. So he's doing well. That's why I'm immigrating now.
Wonderful.
I delayed my big move. I just wanted to be here for the family, for the folks, just to make sure, all right, they're back on track. Everything's cool. Everything's fine. Dad is walking around and he's, you know, able and whatever. Yeah. No, I just delayed the big move. So emotional agility, we need to practice sometimes, especially like moms with infants, colicky infants, for example. And if they're also working full time, and I see this often in men, they don't get the same amount of leave, or they never used to anyway, as women. And I feel sorry for them. They've also got stressful jobs. They're also not sleeping, not as much, you know. So emotional agility, and then creating new systems. And this is a funny thing. Like I didn't know it until I was consciously aware of it. I even have a creative system for my washing dishes, and people think I'm nuts, but I love washing dishes. It's like quiet therapy for me. I hate cooking.
I do but too. I love washing dishes. It's very soothing.
Very soothing. And then I have a whole little rhythm and system that I go through, and everyone's like, can I help you? I'm like, nope, out. Because I actually enjoy it. And there's a creative little system that I've got, and there's a method to my madness, and I enjoy it. So yeah, we all incorporate it in funny ways, from hills to hang pictures and dishwashing like routines or something. But yeah, it's there.
Yeah, wow. There was a ton of information in there. And I really like how you broke it down, but I'm still kind of stuck a little bit on the emotional agility, which I think is stuck in a good way, because I think it's real life. I think it's that work-life balance. And it's because we tend to get overwhelmed in when either one is happening and one gets neglected. So work is crazy. Work is, even though we love it or don't love it, whatever your scenario is, but it's like it kind of takes over. And then you're not as connected and you're not fostering your relationships and yourself. You're not nurturing yourself because you're all caught up in everything. And then the obvious of, you know, in life, if there's sickness or if there's money issues or there's stuff going on, that kind of drama can take over, and it doesn't lead to happy emotions.
Yep.
So I think that you just bringing that to light, I think that's a really, it's a very rich topic, and I appreciated you mentioning that.
Oh, it's a pleasure. There's a funny Christianism that I've been told that I didn't know I said it often enough to clients, but apparently I do. I have a saying that balance is BS, because what you just mentioned now touches on that. I said, I wish people would understand how much more important it is to have harmony than balance. Mm-hmm. Balance, talking about spirit levels, balance, we're all trying to keep this like perfectly balanced life, which is actually a very imperfect lie. I think that we were conditioned somehow to believe. So you've got to be a super mom and a super career woman and a super school runner and a super everything, you know? And it's just, I always say that let's go for harmony, because if your baba's sick, that is naturally where the majority of your focus will go for a while until it's better, you know? And if you're launching a new program, for example, in a business, you've got a 12-week runway where, again, that will be the majority of your focus. So look at a heartbeat. If you imagine that in your mind's eye, you see on hospital scans, you get a big line up front. So pretend that's like a launch or a bad thing that happened in your life. Say, like, my dad had 2 strokes. There was my stress levels, right through the roof, but very traumatic for me. And then it drops down below, and then it goes up again, and you get your regular rhythm and flow of normal life. And then, oh dear, my boy's got a big, athletic meet. So it goes up again, and then it drops down again because all that pressure of that big competition's over, and then it drops way down, and then you get back up into a normal harmonic resonance and flow with life again. So I actually use that image in presentations, so it's very visual for people. So that's the harmony of life. There's no always happy or always that. The law of polarity exists for a reason. We need the contrast from happiness to sad. We need the flow. So I said, so it's easier when we take the pressure off ourselves to try and live this balanced life. I'm not always balanced. Mm-hmm. I could never be. If I'm launching a new program, for example, or something, then that's where the majority of my focus goes. If mom and dad need me more, I'm there. And same with moms and kids and husbands and, you know, relationships and partners. We've got to have that flow, and it's a give and take. It's a real give and take, constant. It's harmony. There is the law of harmony, by the way, is one of the laws, but I prefer that. And I always say, you'll find a rhythm. You'll find a rhythm, but emotional agility needs to be expressed, because if you learn to play with it instead of think of it as this hard thing, we're supposed to be so emotionally intelligent. And yes, there is maturity in terms of emotions, but sometimes it's best if you just lose it for a bit. Like the Italians, my dad and I are the two loud ones of the family. So we may get mad, no problem. Do you know that it's gone within a minute? We don't even remember what we were mad about, because it's released, it's out. And it's not to say we blow up in funny situations. Don't take it the wrong way. But so we don't have that like holds grudges. Yeah. Just out.
Yeah. It's the releasing. I really appreciate that, and it's going to stick with me. It's the let's go for harmony, because it's true. The word balance, I think that gets overused, and you're exactly right. There's never going to be that, and we do want the contrast. And it just kind of made me think, because you mentioned your father. My dad passed away 18 years ago, but when our daughter was 4 months old when he passed. So it was kind of like this whole, there's kind of a... neglect is a big word. But just for like, my daughter will ask me certain things like, well, what happened here and what happened then? And I'm like, I don't know, to be honest. I was in a haze. I was in a haze of my father being sick and then my father dying and then her being a baby. So it was, I kind of lost some time in there. But yeah, it's just, I just bring it up because looking back on it now, it is like forgiveness and finding that harmony. Cause when something's happening and it's, you're kind of in that space and you're allowed to be in that space. And it is about expressing, not repressing.
Yeah, totally. And sometimes we are hazy and it's allowed, sometimes we've got to go, if my best today is all I can do is put clothes on and like wash the dishes, I still love me and I forgive me because my best tomorrow may be back to a normal best, or all we can do really is our best on any given day. And that is harmony. That's living in truth to ourselves and at least not beating ourselves up. So self-punishment and laying the guilt on ourselves is a big thing. that we're often conditioned to do, but you have to be perfect. You can't do this. How can you say you're a CEO and yet you do this? I'm like, well, today I did my best. And yeah. You're right. There's often hazy periods or moments in time, phases, in fact, in time. I was so sleep deprived last year, April. Oh, I don't even remember what else happened, except that I snuck my little girl out in strict lockdown. I'm saying it now because we're over the lockdown. I did not post any pictures publicly. I promise we would have been in trouble. But my dog, I thought she was dying, you know. So I said, well, fine. I'm going to take her out to all her favorite places. And I literally had to sneak around and get her to smell the grass here and her favorite beach. And anyway, she decided she's living for another few months. So she just got over that bad bout. But April was a blur to me because of it. As you
right.
said, what a haze. Yeah.
Right. Oh, my gosh. So we are actually at the top of the hour. Okay. So being at the top of the hour, I just want to close it up and put like a nice little bow on it with all that we've talked about and just kind of, you know, so why is creativity important to you?
It's important to me because I think, you know, we're all a part of God or whatever a listener may want to call it, the universe, source, whoever they believe to be the higher power. So we're all this beautiful little element within the greater whole, oneness. So in some of our spiritual terms nowadays, you'll hear the God consciousness, the God particle, Christ consciousness. But, you know, if we're made in his likeness, and that's even biblical, we're divine creators. That's it. We're here to create and to follow more the more life principle. And the more we allow our natural creativity to flow unbridled, the better we become at being creative, both in and out of our workplaces. So, you know, it's about expansion and expression to me. And if you think about it, yeah, if I'm a part of God, he's a part of me, not I am him. But that's, you know, more sort of my way. I'm just a beautiful, magnificent, and so were you, and so is everyone on this planet. Just a magnificent little particle of the big oneness. We have to remember that there's just oneness. In the best way, our worth and value exist already, and we are magnificent creators.
Well, that's just a perfect way to wrap it up. So it is. It's amazing. I mean, it's just so powerful in all of your words. So, Kristen, can you please tell people how they can connect with you?
No problem. My website is www.flamingsilver, literally ignite your flame, .co. Mm-hmm. And it's not .com or .co. anything. It's .co for connect, collaborate, and co-create. So flamingsilver.co. And then, or you can send me an email. I'm on email almost every day. You can send me an email direct. It's Kristen with a K, R-I-S-T-E-N, at flamingsilver.co. But you can go to my website or find me on Facebook. Yeah, and ask for pictures of my Princess Porcelina. I'm very proud of my little piggy bank.
you regularly still. I'm going to go out and get to the dollar store and get myself a
container
to hold the change. We have a big water jug. We have a big old water jug, but I'm going to find something for me and make it more fun. And it's beautiful.
That's where the miracles come in, for sure. That's when clients say, but I just made this, or this just entered my experience. How did that happen? I work less and I got more money. I was like, yep, because you're activating miracles because you're having fun with it. Joy. That's what brings it in.
Miracles. That's what I was just going to say. So what words of wisdom, do you have any other quick words of wisdom that you could share with the audience?
It's a funny one. It's taken from the old investment world I love the saying I've said it for years, your diligence pays in dividends. So diligence being the focus, wherever you place your, what did they say? Energy flows where focus goes. And wherever energy flows, it grows. So if you want to make more money and allow and nurture and cultivate more money to grow for you, place a little bit more focus there. And that's just diligence. It doesn't mean sacrifice. It takes the pressure off. If you're diligent in your whatever endeavor you're trying, that's where the energy is going to flow because your focus is there and more will grow and appreciate for you. It's good fortune.
There we go. So that's what this space is about. This space is all about inspiring, sharing, and connecting. So please like, follow, and share so we can just connect and spread these amazing stories and just bring us together. We need this. We need to be lifted up and just be raised to higher consciousness. So Kristen, I so appreciate you taking this hour and talking to me. Thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting me. It's always great chatting to you.
So great talking with you. And I wish everybody, so I already said the first part. Sorry, I got distracted. I changed my order up a little bit. There we go. So I wish you a good morning, a good afternoon, a good evening, wherever you are in this world. And we'll be chatting soon. So goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.